So yes, we're continuing to read through Mark's Gospel as we have been these past few Sundays, and we'll take a break over Christmas, of course. And today our theme is Jesus' grace and his mercy. Belmarsh is the toughest high security prison in the United Kingdom. Some call it Britain's Guantanamo Bay. It has contained some of the most notorious prisoners ever, like the great train robber, Ronnie Briggs, the radical Islamicist, Abu Hamza. And I was reading about its governor recently, the prison governor. Her name is Claudia Sturt, and she's a Christian. And she is remarkable in how she opens herself up to the prisoners, meeting them around the prison, listening to their complaints, dealing with fights and sensitive incidents, and attending Christian fellowship meetings. Several officers at Belmarsh have become Christians in Claudia Sturt's time as governor. And it struck me as I read that what she demonstrates is grace, because grace is kindness that is not deserved. And you cannot really get much more undeserving than lawbreakers and criminals. And she does it all on behalf of Christ. And this morning's reading is also about grace, the abundant, gracious acts of Jesus Christ. And there were three stories in that passage that I've just read, which Mark intentionally places together. And each one shows us the kindness and the grace of Jesus, his grace in sharing the gospel message. The first person Jesus meets in this morning's reading is a Gentile woman, and she has a terrible problem. We're told that her daughter has an unclean spirit, and we can't be sure, of course, but that may mean that she's been showing signs of being seriously ill, or perhaps of something like self-mutilation or even a death wish. Whatever the symptoms are, she's in a dreadful condition. A parent in this situation would do anything for her. And this woman, her mother, is really determined, really desperate. And she bursts into a stranger's home where she knows that Jesus is. And she gets on her knees at Jesus' feet and she begs him for help. Well, look at Jesus' response, please, in verse 27 of chapter 7. Verse 27, this is what Jesus surprisingly says to her. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go, the demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. You know, it's quite a shocking response here from Jesus. He is quoting a popular saying of the time that Gentiles like this lady were thought of as the dogs. Jesus was more often than not dealing with Jews. At the start of his ministry, they were his priority. That's what he means when he says there that the children must be fed first. So the Jews for a long time had been the children of God, not the Gentiles. The Gentiles were considered to be the dogs, not a nice way of describing anyone. But that's the way the godless, unbelieving Gentiles, like this lady, were thought of. They were the dogs and should not be offered good bread. In other words, they should not be offered the kingdom of God. The bread stands for the kingdom, the coming of God's kingdom, the kingdom that satisfies and nourishes and comforts. The Jews had been waiting for such a kingdom, and now they are beginning to see the good news that with Jesus the kingdom is coming. But surely it was for them, not for these Gentiles. Well, this Gentile woman perseveres with Jesus. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table, she says. I know I'm not entitled to your kingdom, Jesus, but even the dogs deserve some scraps. And for an answer like that, Jesus is pleased to heal her daughter. As she uses that phrase that might remind you of our communion service, there's that prayer in the communion service which says, we're not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy, and so on. And the writer of that prayer had this story in his mind as he wrote it. Because in the prayer, in that communion prayer, he wants us to appeal to Jesus' mercy and grace. Jesus is so gracious. He pours out his kindness upon us when we come to him humbly. And he's done that for you if you're a Christian. Although you did not deserve it, he has welcomed you into his kingdom. None of us deserves his friendship. He doesn't owe us anything. In fact, in the story before this one, Jesus has described at length our sinful hearts that are full of pride and envy and deceit, and that describes everyone, including each of us, if we're honest. So all we can really do, like this lady, is humbly appeal for crumbs from the master's table. But the good news is that when you make that appeal, meekly and respectfully, Jesus does welcome you. If you believe the gospel of his death for you and his resurrection, he will receive you. Just as he welcomes this Gentile woman, he's so gracious and merciful. He longs for us to enter into his kingdom. He doesn't want to turn anyone away, but rather he wants us to come to him. And when you do, like this lady, you can then pray for others to be welcomed by Jesus. She prayed for her daughter, whom Jesus did have mercy on. And you can pray for a daughter too, perhaps one who is far away from Christian things. You can pray for a son or a husband or a wife or a friend that they would return to Jesus Christ. You may have to persist in prayer for that person. This Gentile lady persisted with Jesus, didn't she? She kept on appealing to Jesus' grace and mercy. And each of us may have to persist. We may have to pray for years before we see that particular person become a Christian. Maybe 5, 10, or 20 years even. But we can always count on the mercy and grace of Jesus as we continue in prayer. That's the Gentile woman's story. She knew that Jesus was the person to come to for the satisfying, saving bread of God's kingdom, even for crumbs. The second person that Jesus meets in Mark chapter 7 is a deaf man. He's also, likely as not, a Gentile, and that's important because he's living in a largely Gentile area. And he's got these two serious conditions. One, he's deaf. And two, he appears barely able to speak. And again, he's brought to Jesus by others. Remember the Gentile woman? She approached Jesus on behalf of her daughter. And these friends are now approaching Jesus on behalf of this deaf man. And they beg Jesus to heal him. So again, I think we're being reminded of the importance of prayer and of coming humbly to Jesus. Jesus is happy for us to pray to him about our friends. He's happy for us to come to him on their behalf, to bring them before him in prayer. Not just, of course, for healing. There's a deeper message than that here, as we will see. It's about the kingdom again. Look at how graciously, again, Jesus deals, please, with this deaf man down in verse 33 of chapter 7. Remember, he's deaf and he can hardly speak. Verse 33, after he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosed and he began to speak plainly. Now we see again here the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. In this episode, just as in the last, notice how he takes the man aside privately, because Jesus deals with us as individuals. He's not like the mega church faith healer who's tempted to heal someone for show in front of a packed Odyssey arena. No, Jesus graciously and gently cares for each person. He's more like a good doctor who brings you away from the crowd, the crowded waiting room, and takes you privately into his surgery where he patiently deals with your own condition. How loving and personal and gracious the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's how he was with this deaf man. So it's a wonderful healing here. Jesus gives him his hearing back and his speech. And that is significant. The Old Testament predicted that the Messiah would come and he would be identified by what he would do. Because, says Isaiah, he would unstop the ears of the deaf and he would make the tongue of the mute sing for joy. So anyone standing around Jesus watching that day, watching this healing, if they knew their Old Testaments, they would know that here is the Messiah, that God himself in Jesus, the Christ, has come. He has healed the deaf and the mute, just as was prophesied. The kingdom must be coming. The longed-for king is here. But above all, in this story, we're meant to understand that Jesus can heal the spiritually deaf. Yes, historically, he performed this incredible miracle, which was life-transforming for this deaf man. Of course, he did that. But that is a picture for us and for his disciples standing around him back then of his even greater work. Because the miracle that he's doing today is healing the spiritually deaf. He can give any unbeliever a hearing ear. He can make him or her love to hear God's word, love to hear the gospel, even if at one point he or she could not stand to hear it. I wonder if you've had your ears opened to Jesus Christ. If you have, never forget that it is a miracle. Only he can perform such a wonderful work. Because we each begin by suffering from spiritual deafness. By nature, none of us really wants to hear what God is saying. We often put in spiritual earplugs, tell him to go away. Stop it, we might say, when the gospel's proclaimed. I can hardly stand to hear that. And no doubt you know many people who are currently like that, don't you? What is needed in their lives is a miracle. What is needed is a special touch from Jesus, miraculously unblocking someone's spiritual ears so as they can hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, we're told in the New Testament. And you can only hear if Jesus himself has miraculously touched you. And then there's one final thing to say about Jesus' gracious action towards this formerly deaf man. Notice that after Jesus heals his ears, he then heals his tongue. The man is able to hear, and then he's able to speak. And that's the order of things for us too. If you're a Christian, then you have heard the gospel. Faith comes through hearing. But having been given spiritual ears, we're then given spiritual tongues. In other words, we'd be compelled to speak of Christian things. Indeed, we'll have a desire to share what we have heard about Christ. So are you speaking the gospel? Is your tongue loosened for Christ? If you're a Christian, he has saved you so as you can speak of him. Not in an aggressive or sanctimonious way. I was in town yesterday and I'm just not that sure about street preachers. But speaking in a natural and gracious way, that's different. Having prayed for opportunities with our friends and family. But like this deaf man, we must be able to hear the word of God first before we have anything worthwhile to say. And then we move on now to the feeding of the 4,000. Mark is so brilliant in the way that he puts his gospel together with the woman. Remember the Gentile woman, the Greek woman. He has shown that the bread of the kingdom is beginning to go out to the Gentiles. With the deaf man, he's reinforced this. The Jewish Messiah has a saving gospel to be heard by Gentiles. And now Mark brings us back to the theme of bread and crumbs. A few chapters back, Mark told us about the feeding of the 5,000. And again, Jesus and his disciples find themselves in a similar situation. They're with a large hungry crowd, a large crowd always gathered around Jesus. They have nothing to eat. The slight difference this time is that he is still in a Gentile area. So he's still dealing with Gentiles, as in the last two stories, non-Jews who are not supposed to be God's people. Can even dogs be saved, is really the question. But this feeding of the 4,000 is, of course, a nearly identical miracle to Jesus feeding the 5,000. And he does these two miraculous feedings, one after the other, for our benefit. Because we often need to go on learning the same lesson again and again. And certainly the disciples did. They find themselves in front of this huge crowd with only 7 loaves and a few fish. And they ask Jesus, how can we feed these people? They ask even though they've already seen Jesus feed an even larger crowd before. They need to keep learning the same lessons about Jesus over and over and over again. And so do we. And one lesson here is about God's abundant generosity. So have a look at chapter 8, verse 5, please. Chapter 8 this time, verse 5. How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. Then a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. So Jesus is thankful, we notice, for God's generosity. He gives thanks for the food. He's so grateful and appreciative for what he has received. He's not a grumpy old man. You maybe know that TV program that usually comes on around Christmas time. Grumpy old men were so-called celebrities and comedians complain about life. Victor Meldrew types who bemoan how bad things are and how much worse they're going to get in the future. And they talk about how much better it was in the olden days. And Christians can easily fall into that kind of grumpy old man attitude. We see standards in society falling, immorality on the rise, fewer people coming to church. We complain about the bad news in the church instead of concentrating on the good news of the gospel. But Jesus does not want Christians to be grumpy old men or women. He wants us to give thanks for what we've got, and that's what he did. And he's thankful because God's grace is so abundant. The bread is so abundant. A huge crowd of thousands is satisfied. And if this bread stands for the good news of the kingdom of God, well then that kingdom blessing is also abundant. It's not just a few crumbs like the Syrophoenician woman asked for. It's enough for thousands of people. The bread of life is overflowing. Overflowing to Gentiles, even. There's no reason why it should be. But the saving message of God is for Gentiles like us. And once we have that thankful attitude, once we realize how abundant God's spiritual blessings are, well, then we're ready to work for Christ. In the story, Jesus commissions his disciples to go round passing out the bread that they didn't really even ask for. And likewise, he has commissioned you, if you're a Christian, to start with what you've got. Start with the gospel message that you've heard and received, to be thankful for it, and then to go out with it, sharing it around everywhere and everyone. It's so abundant, trusting in Christ to give the growth. The Gentile woman, a few verses back, begged Jesus just for a few crumbs falling from the master's table, which Jesus agreed to give her. Now we see Jesus feeding more Gentiles, not just with crumbs, but with multiplying loaves, so much so that there are basketfuls left over. And so once again, in this third story, we see the loving and gracious compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He looks out on a great crowd of mostly non-Jews, which meant at the time that they were not considered God's people. They were undeserving unbelievers who were mostly just curious about this man, but still he has mercy on them. In fact, soon he's going to die for people like this crowd. His loving kindness and grace is incredible. And that's what we've seen in these three stories then of Jesus this morning, his wonderful grace. Together they form a kind of sandwich. Bread is mentioned in the outer two stories, the outer two layers, the Gentile woman and the feeding of the 4,000. And then the meat of the sandwich is the central story of the deaf man. The grace of the gospel of the kingdom is like bread. God abundantly provides the bread of life. The good news of the kingdom is freely distributed to everyone. And that grace comes to us like the deaf man when we hear the gospel. Like the deaf man whom he graciously took aside privately. Jesus wants people to have their spiritual hearing restored. Everyone needs to be able to hear the gospel. Faith comes through hearing. And that is how we receive the abundant kingdom blessing of salvation. We listen to the good news of Jesus. Let us pray.